Many studies showed that.
There's something wrong with Bay, Kit said as he tossed down his napkin and stood.
He circled the table to crouch by the dog, who was standing by the back door. What do you mean?
She's been pacing for a couple of hours. I've let her out, but she doesn't want to leave the house. She didn't eat her dinner.
He stroked her head.
What's going on, little girl?
The dog looked at him and whined, then started walking around the living room. Stacy watched and saw that he was right. She did seem agitated, almost uncomfortable.
She's in labor.
Stacy sprang to her feet, prepared to go into birthing mode. Not that there was anything for her to do. We should take her temperature. If it's dropped, then she'll go into labor in the next 24 hours. She studied the pacing dog. Maybe it's too late for that.
They'd already set up a comfortable canine maternity ward in Kit's office.
He'd sectioned off about a quarter of the room, putting up a low wall that Bay could easily step over while the puppies would be contained. There was a large, thick mattress-style dog bed with a plastic cover. Old sheets were on top of that. Clean newsprint covered the floor.
Bay, do you want to go get settled?
She asked, patting her leg and leading the way to the office. Bay followed. She'd seen the birthing area before, had sniffed it all, but hadn't wanted to stretch out on the bed. Now she stepped inside, then went back out and back in again. She sniffed it all before lying down on the mattress and locking her gaze with Stacy's. The message was clear. Don't leave me.
I'll be right here, Stacy promised. I'm going to stay for as long as it takes.
Kit brought in lots of pillows, along with a low beach backrest, so Stacy could get comfortable. They put on classical music and offered Bay water, which she refused. She got up and tore a few of the papers into shreds, then went back to the bed.
I'm scared, Stacy admitted, squeezing Kit's hand. What if something goes wrong?
What if something doesn't? He asked. She's done this before. The vet says she'll know what to do when we have the information for the emergency vet clinic programmed into our phones. If it gets bad, we'll throw her in the car and take her with us.
Ashton got home about 8 and joined them. Bay wagged her stubby little tail when she saw him, then closed her eyes as her breathing changed.
Females go through a lot, he said, shaking his head. I sure wouldn't do that.
Stacy thought about the baby she was carrying. She wasn't overly concerned about giving birth. She understood the process and had already discussed pain management with her doctor. It was what came after that had her terrified. How was she supposed to know what to do? She was less than 2 months from her due date, and she still didn't feel a connection or any sense of bonding. By 9 o'clock, the first of the puppies had been born. Bay licked the puppy clean, then allowed Kit to tie off the umbilical cord with a bit of dental floss. 2 more puppies were born right after each other. Within the hour, they were all nursing, and Bay had fallen asleep. Kit and Ashton cleaned up the dirty newspaper and laid down fresh. The vet had said to wait a few hours before offering her food, then only small, frequent meals until she was ready for more. Kit and Ashton worked out a schedule that excluded her, despite Stacy's willingness to get up and feed Bay.
You need to rest, her husband told her. We'll handle this.
But after everyone had gone to bed, Stacy returned to sit with Bay. The Doberman opened her eyes and wagged her tail, but otherwise didn't move. The 3 tiny puppies were curled up against her, asleep.
You were great, she told the new mother. You handled it all perfectly. You were brave and so smart. You knew exactly what to do.
Stacy pressed her hand to her belly and willed herself to feel something. Anticipation, hope, anything but the ongoing sense of terror and disconnection.
I don't think I can do it, she whispered to the dog. I don't know how to be a mother. I've never wanted to learn. I'm not that interested in people, and I've never enjoyed being around children. I don't understand them. Babies are even more confusing. That level of dependency doesn't make me comfortable.
She thought about all that had happened. Her fight with her mother, how Harper and Kit had tricked her into going shopping because they couldn't just ask her without her refusing.
I'm not going to be a good mother, she told Bay. I don't have it in me. Mom always said there was something wrong with me, and now I know she was right.
Her eyes burned with tears.
What if I can't love my baby? Worse, what if she knows? I'm not like you, Bay. I don't have instincts. I just have my brain, and every now and then I have to admit it does me absolutely no good. This is one of those times. I can't think myself into loving my baby. I'm going to mess her up, and I don't know how to make it better. Kit is going to be disappointed in me, and I don't think I can survive that.
She curled up on the floor and cried until there were no tears left. She got cold and her back hurt, but she stayed where she was until she heard Kit walk into his office. He settled next to her, then gently drew her into a sitting position and wrapped his arms around her.
What's wrong?
I don't know how to be a good mother. I'm afraid Jewel is going to hate me.
She was mostly afraid she would lose him to their daughter. But there was no way to tell him that. He put his hand under her chin, forcing her to look at him.
Has it occurred to you that of all the women I could have married, I chose you, Stacy? You're the one I want to spend my life with. You're the one I want to have our daughter with. I want this to happen with you. Just you.
She nodded and leaned close so he could kiss her. That would make him think she understood and that everything was fine, even though it wasn't at all. Chapter 19. Harper drove up her street, slowing as she saw a moving truck backed into her driveway. All her senses went on alert. Was this one of those scams she'd seen on the news? Was she being robbed? She hit the gas and skidded to a stop in front of her house, only to see her mother directing the three men loading the truck. What on earth?
Mom, what's going on?
Harper hurried around the side of the house in time to see her mother's dresser being carried down the stairs. Bunny sniffed and folded her arms across her chest.
Isn't it obvious? I'm leaving.
I don't understand.
What isn't clear? I refuse to stay where I'm not wanted. An apartment opened up at the old folks' home, so I'm going to live there and wait to die. With my heart broken, it shouldn't take long.
You're leaving because Daisy didn't tell you about the baby?
That's really the least of it, her mother told her. What about you not telling me?
It wasn't my secret to tell.
Harper did her best to stay calm. I'm your mother. You always take her side, and now you're doing it again. Well, fine. It can just be the two of you, the way you've always wanted it. I won't be in the way anymore.
Mom, please don't ask me to pick sides. I know you're upset, and I totally get why. She offered what she hoped was a sympathetic smile. You're hurt, and you feel cut off from what was happening.
Don't try to placate me. Cut off doesn't begin to describe what I'm feeling. You think you know everything, but you're wrong. All you care about is your business. As if making money is the most important thing in the world. Well, it's not. Family matters more. But you can't seem to remember that. You and your sister, you're exactly alike. Selfish and thoughtless. And I'm too old to have to deal with you right now.
With that, she turned and went back up the stairs, into her apartment. Harper walked into her house and texted her sister. Stacy called right away.
I'm sorry, her sister said over the phone. This is my fault.
It's not. She's being dramatic. I just feel bad.
Me too. And you have to deal with it.
Harper watched the movers load more furniture.
Not for long. At the rate they're hustling, they'll be done within the hour.
Want me to come over?
No, I'll handle it. I just wanted you to know.
When they'd hung up, Harper tried to figure out what she felt. Concern, sadness, irritation, and more than a little fear at the loss of the $1,000 a month her mother had been paying her for the apartment.
Her mother walked into the house a couple of hours later. I wrote down my new address. I doubt you or your sister care, but my granddaughter might want to come see me.
Mom, Harper started, only to have Bunny hold up her hand.
No, we've said all there is to say. I'm leaving. I put you down as my emergency contact. I'm sure one of the staff will call you when I die.
Harper took the card and stared at it. The upscale retirement community was less than 3 miles from the house.
Mom, I honestly don't know what to say to you. I'm sorry you're mad at me. I'm sorry I disappoint you every single day, and I hope you'll be happy in your new apartment.
Her mother glared at her before handing over the apartment keys.
How dare you!
Then she walked to her car and drove away. Harper set the card on the counter. She had no idea what to do or say or think about any of it. She threw herself on the sofa. Thor and Jazz jumped up and sat on either side of her. She put her arms around both of them and tried to figure out exactly when her life had gone to shit. She didn't know how long she sat there. Dean was working from home and Becca was still at school. She was well and truly by herself. The dogs were oddly comforting, Maybe she should close her eyes and take a nap or something. But before she could decide, there was a knock at the front door, followed by a familiar voice calling,
"Harper?"
Thor jumped off the sofa and raced down the hall. "In the family room?" She waited until Lucas and Thor walked in to say, "It's the middle of the day. What are you doing here?"
"I was in court and we just wrapped up early. Bunny texted to tell me there was a crisis. What's wrong?"
"My mother has your number?"
"I gave it to her in case there was an emergency."
"My mother?"
"What's going on?"
Talk about the question of the hour, she thought, deciding she probably shouldn't start laughing. If she did, she might never stop and that would freak him out. Was it too early to drink? Lucas had brought over a bunch of wine the other day. If she started now, she could probably get through at least 2 bottles by dinner time. No doubt it would make her sick, but that might not be such a bad thing. Throwing up would be a distraction. He sat in one of the club chairs and rested his ankle on his opposite knee. Thor lay down next to him.
"I have all day," Lucas told her.
"You haven't put your gun away."
"I might need it."
That made her smile. "I think the only person worthy of being shot is me, so I'd prefer you didn't." He didn't respond. Instead, he watched her as if trying to illustrate his "I have all day" point. "Fine," she grumbled. "My mother has moved out. She's gone to the old folks' home, as she calls it, where she plans to wait to die. I feel guilty for hurting her, and I'm worried about making up the income the apartment brought in, which makes me a bad person." She sighed. "There's my ex's wedding. My daughter..." She paused. "Dean's working out, so that's good." She had more to say, but suddenly couldn't speak as the bitch that was reality slapped her. "I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think I miss my mom." Lucas shook his head.
"There's no reason to, and your problems are all easily fixed."
"Seriously? Enlighten me."
"Was that sarcasm I heard in your voice?"
"Yes. How is any of this easily fixed?"
"How much did your mom pay in rent?"
$1,000. He swore.
"Harper, the apartment has a perfect ocean view."
"I know. We always joked about the fact that there's no view from the house, but the garage apartment has..." She felt her mouth drop open. "It has an ocean view. And a private entrance and parking? Oh, my God. I could get double what she paid."
"Or triple."
"Triple? $3,000 a month? That would cover her mortgage, utilities, and insurance." "I'm not that lucky," she said. "But it's nice to dream."
"I'll check out anyone you're considering renting to."
He lowered his foot to the floor.
"Next, your mother."
One shoulder rose up and down.
"Give her some time. She needs to get over what happened with Stacy. If it helps with the guilt, I'll bet she was feeling a little lonely. Maybe a change of scene will give her the chance to meddle in other people's lives."
"I wish it were that easy. I still feel guilty."
"That I can't help with. Now, Becca."
"You're not going to be able to pretend to fix that one, at all. I have to think about what she said. I have been busy with work, but I never thought..." She cleared her throat. "I'll figure that one out." For a second, she thought he was going to say something, but he only nodded.
"The wedding."
She grinned. "Please don't tell me you know someone who could take out the bride. I might not be happy about the way Terrence has acted, but I don't want to do her harm."
"Fair enough. What if I take you to the wedding instead? I'd be a buffer between you and the ex, and you wouldn't have to sit by yourself while Becca's off doing her thing."
Harper thought about Dean's suggestion and wondered if the 2 men had spoken. No, she told herself. Dean wouldn't do that. But why on earth would Lucas volunteer for that kind of duty? "You can't be serious. You don't want to go to a wedding with me. I mean, it's sweet of you to offer, and I'd have to run it by Terrence." Telling her ex that she was Becca's plus one, but wanted to bring a plus one of her own, would be kind of thrilling. But no, she couldn't. She smiled at him. "Thank you for offering, but it's not practical. We're friends, and I don't want to make things awkward. I mean, what if people thought I was your date? You couldn't handle that."
"Why not?"
"I'm 42.
"I know."
"That's nearly double Pomegranate's age."
"Persimmon, and I told you we're not dating anymore."
"You were never dating. You were sleeping with her. Lucas, you're being so nice to me, and I appreciate it, but I'm not sure you could handle being in the presence of an age-appropriate woman for that long. I'm afraid you'd shrivel up and blow away."
"I'm over here all the time."
Yes, and no one knows.
You're making fun of me.
You're kind of an easy target, she laughed. Okay, I'll stop because you're being so nice to me.
He didn't smile back.
I'm taking you to the wedding.
As if.
I mean it.
He looked plenty serious. She thought about what it would be like to sit alone while Becca was in the ceremony. Later, she would have to deal with mutual friends and the bride's family. She doubted ducking out early was going to be an option, which meant she would have a hideous evening. Going with someone would help, and it wasn't as if Lucas was someone she had to worry about. He was funny and confident, and she would bet he looked really good in a suit. Plus, she would get to dump on Terence about not telling her about the wedding himself and the fact that she was bringing a date. No need for him to know, it was all for show.
You're sure? She asked.
More than sure.
Then I'm going to say yes, and thank you.
Anything else about oil pressure? Lucas asked.
Becca was torn between pride and wanting to roll her eyes. Sometimes people experience low oil pressure at different times of the year. Less of an issue here because we have relatively consistent temperatures, but in other places, like Minnesota, it could be a real problem.
And?
And if that happens, you need to pay attention to the type of oil you're using. A high viscosity oil works in the summer because it's really thick, and the heat kind of dilutes it. In super cold temperatures, it's too thick and causes problems with the engine. It works in reverse, too. A low viscosity oil, in hot weather, isn't going to work because it's too loose.
You're looking smug, he told her. Do you know what any of that means?
Of course. If you live where it's really cold, change your oil with the seasons. Even a place like Phoenix, where it doesn't get really cold, it gets really hot, so you might need a special oil there.
He grinned.
Well done.
She opened the driver's door of her car and slid inside. I was kind of mad at you, she admitted, as she checked her seat position and mirrors. Every now and then, Lucas broke into her car before their lessons and changed everything. The man took his teaching job seriously.
About?
Making me learn all about my car. Other kids don't have to. But now that I know everything, it's kind of interesting. Plus, if there's a problem, I can talk to the mechanic. She glanced at him. I'm thinking of taking auto shop for my elective next fall.
Does your mom know?
She laughed. No, and you can't tell her. I want to see if it works in my schedule.
It's good to know a few things.
He pointed down the street.
Head to Pacific Coast Highway. From PCH, take Torrance to Hawthorne. Go south on the 405 to the Long Beach Freeway, then PCH back.
Her stomach tightened. She'd been on the freeway before, but not for that long, and she'd never gone from one freeway to another. She generally got on at one exit and off two exits later.
You can do it, he told her.
She nodded, checked her mirrors again, then pulled into the street.
Did you hear about Grandma leaving? She asked, more to distract herself from her nerves than because she wanted to talk about her family.
She was really mad about Aunt Stacy not telling her about the baby. I don't get it. Why didn't she say something before? Grandma would be happy to have another grandchild.
It's complicated for Stacy.
Because she cares about her career more than making sure the napkins match the tablecloth. I think Aunt Stacy is great. She's helping people with MS. That's more important than remembering it's National Ice Cream Day.
She turned onto Torrance Boulevard and got over as quickly as she could. She would be turning left onto Hawthorne, but with a green arrow, so that was okay. She still didn't like turning left in front of oncoming traffic. She was never sure how much space she should leave, and usually left so much that the car behind her started honking.
Sometimes it was easier to just make three right turns instead. Are you dissing your mom?
Lucas asked, his tone sharp.
She takes really good care of you, Becca. She cares about you. You have no idea what it's like to live with an indifferent parent.
You're wrong, she told him, careful to keep her attention on the road. She doesn't care about me. She's too busy with work.
Huh. I wonder why that's so important to her. Could it be that you like eating?
She really wanted to glare at him, but didn't. Instead, she sighed heavily before saying, "It's not my fault my parents got divorced, and it's not my fault she kept the house. Do you think I like knowing I'm the reason my mom is struggling? I'm going to be gone in a couple of years, and then what? Why couldn't she have sold the house, and then everything would be fine?"
How do you figure?
Because my dad pays her alimony and child support.
You know that child support goes right into your college fund, don't you?
No, she didn't. Becca felt herself flush. How do you know?
She told me. She'd probably tell you if you asked.
But there's alimony.
Right. You know your dad. Do you think he's paying her very much? And it's going to run out in a couple of years, but sure. She should wait to try to support herself and you because you need attention.
That's mean.
That's honest. I'm not saying your mom isn't busy. I'm sure she is. She could probably listen more, but you know what? You could ask her to make time. You could tell her you have something important going on.
Why does it always have to be me? She yelled. Why do I have to be the one to do the right thing? She turned onto Hawthorne, got in the right lane, then risked a glance. Lucas's expression was incredulous. What? She demanded.
Seriously, you're going to pull that crap on me? Like you give in even half the time? Like you're some saint who never pouts or screws up or lies or doesn't do what you're supposed to? Sure, it's all your mom.
I'm not saying it's all her. Just that it doesn't always have to be me. She's the mom.
Yeah, she is. One quick question. When is it you?
What do you mean?
You said you didn't want it always to be you, so I'm asking, when do you take care of stuff for her? When do you get up early to make breakfast, or do her laundry, or clean the house, or take her shopping, or make sure she's okay? Have you ever once walked in and said, Mom, I know you've been working really hard. How can I help? Just one example, Becca.
She pulled into a strip mall parking lot and drove into a spot, then turned off her car. Why are you doing this? Why are you being mean and taking her side? His expression was unreadable.
I'm saying that when you diss your mom for no reason, it's not fair, and it doesn't speak well of you. You're a good kid, Becca, but you're also selfish and entitled. You expect to be taken care of, but you don't offer very much in return.
He waved his hand, pointing at her dashboard.
Like this. What do I get out of helping you get in your driving hours? You're not doing anything for me in return. I'm not a relative. You and I don't hang out. So why would I bother?
He leaned toward her.
I don't expect an answer. My point is, you don't even ask the question. We should all live to serve you.
It's not like that. I'm not that person.
Really? When was the last time you cleaned up after Jazz in the yard?
There's a service.
Uh-huh. And what else do you do for that dog? You feed her, but do you ever stop to think she needs more than just sitting around waiting for you to get home? What about your grandmother? Have you been to see her since she left? Are you keeping up your grades? That was part of our deal. Or do you have an excuse?
Stop it! She got out of the car and tried to catch her breath. I'm not horrible. Stop saying I am.
Then don't trash your mother.
They glared at each other. Lucas looked way more calm than she felt. She wanted to scream at him to go away, but she couldn't. Not only were they several miles from the house, she thought maybe he was right. Not about everything, but about the driving, for sure. Why was he helping her? He didn't have to. Her own dad couldn't be bothered, and Becca had never had the heart to ask her mom. Even she could see how her mom was struggling to hold it all together. He got out of the car and stared at her across the roof.
Get your shit together, Becca. Figure it out, because no one is going to do it for you. I see a lot of potential in you, but potential is meaningless until you do something worthwhile. The world is filled with sad people who had potential. Now either get in and finish the route or head back home. It doesn't much matter to me which.
She met his gaze and saw the truth there. He hadn't said anything, but she had a feeling that if she took him home, that would be the end of her lessons with him. You really like her, huh? She asked.
I respect her, Becca, and so should you.
She waited for a second, then got in the car and started the engine. When she pulled out of the parking lot, she turned right and headed for the freeway. Chapter 20 Stacy read the letter twice, then dropped it in her tote. The written apology from Carl would go in her permanent file, and she'd been given a raise. Her team was doing well. Their latest experiments were moving to the human trial stage, which was always exciting. At her last checkup, her doctor had said the baby was developing nicely. Things could not be better. She just wished she felt better or even okay, but she didn't. She was restless and sad and emotionally uncomfortable every second of every day. The only place she felt at peace was with Bay and her rapidly growing puppies. She got home at her usual time and called out a greeting to Kit, then retreated to their bedroom to change her clothes. Once she was in yoga pants and a t-shirt, she went to check on the new family. Bay waggled her tail as Stacy approached and stretched out her head for a quick rub. "Hi, sweet girl. How are you feeling? Your babies look good. Are you happy?" Kit walked into his office and joined her on the floor.
"Both my new moms are glowing," he said, leaning in and giving her a kiss. "How was work?"
"Fine. I have a written apology from Carl."
"Good. I didn't want to have to beat him up, but I would have done it for you."
Kind words. Loving words. He was such a good husband, and she was a complete and total mess.
"What?" he asked gently. "Stacy, what's going on? You haven't been yourself for a while now."
She stroked the small puppies. They still had their eyes closed, but they were starting to develop personalities. They licked her puppy in Stacy's hand, always the vigilant mother. "She knows what to do," Stacy said. "The way she handled the birth, and now. She's amazing." Her husband watched her without speaking. "It's instinct," she continued. "It's very powerful. There are hormones and chemicals at work. Some studies suggest that when animal mothers reject their offspring, the hormones aren't present. Scientists are looking for ways to create them synthetically, but I think it's going to be a long time until that happens."
"Interesting."
His tone was noncommittal, as if he knew there was more. She felt their daughter move. While she was happy to know that all was well and to have the regular reminders that Jewel was growing stronger every day, she didn't feel anything else. No connection, no anticipation. If Kit told her he'd changed his mind and wanted them to give up their baby for adoption, she wasn't sure she would mind very much, or at all. A truth that would shock him and probably change how he saw her, she thought sadly.
"Stacy, please. Tell me what you're thinking."
What was the line from that movie? "You can't handle the truth." But she had to say something. She kept her gaze on the puppies as she said, "When I was growing up, my mom always said there was something wrong with me, that I wasn't like other children. I never cared about that before, but I do now." She looked at him. "Bunny was right. I'm not normal. I'm not like everyone else." He surprised her by smiling.
"Is that all? Honey, we're all broken. Some of us just show it in different ways. It's okay that you're scared about how you're going to deal with Jewel. You're not a kid person, and you've never been around babies. It may take a while, but I'm confident you'll bond with her and love her. You're going to be a great mom."
"What if you're wrong?"
"I'm not."
Hardly a helpful statement. "It's easy for you. You like everyone, and everyone likes you. You're a really good guy."
"And just as broken as everyone else."
"I don't believe you."
"Remember when I told you about being married to Gina?"
"His first wife?" She nodded.
"She'd had cancer when she was a teenager, and as a result of that, she couldn't have children. I told her I was fine with it, and we got married. At first, everything was okay, but after a couple of years, I started to resent not being able to have kids. I wanted to talk about adoption, but she wasn't interested. I loved her, but I wasn't happy, and I couldn't bring myself to tell her."
"Because it would be like blaming her for having cancer?" He nodded.
"Exactly that. There was an unwritten rule that we were never supposed to talk about her being anything but whole. Just when I finally grew a pair and was going to insist we talk about the problem, her cancer came back."
He touched her face.
"Look at my sister. What she's been going through. I grew up with her high, looking to get high, coming down from being high, and generally spiraling out of control. None of us is exactly how we want to be. The goal is to be the best person we can be, given our flaws."
She knew what he was trying to say, and she appreciated the effort, only he was talking about a normal level of brokenness, while she was wrestling with the possibility of being so far from everyone else that she could never find her way back.
"You're going to be a great mom."
Something she knew not to be true. But she loved Kit, and she didn't want him to worry, so she kissed him and smiled. You're right. It might take a while, but I'll get there.
Becca hadn't known what to think about Lucas's lecture. She wanted to tell herself he was wrong about everything, but she couldn't seem to convince herself. She missed her friends. She missed talking to her mom, and she didn't know how to stop feeling so uncomfortable with herself. The only two good things she could count on were Jazz and Ashton. Both were there for her. Jazz was always waiting, just like Lucas had said. And Ashton, well, he was funny and kind, and every time she thought about him, her heart beat faster. They'd shared a couple more kisses, so she was getting better at that. She still thought that sleeping with him would change her enough that everything would be okay, only she didn't know how to tell him she wanted to do that. What did you say? Just blurting it out seemed really impossible, but it wasn't as if she could bring it up in a text. From everything she'd heard and read and seen in the movies, guys just naturally tried to take things further and further, but so far Ashton hadn't done anything other than kiss her. What was up with that?
Ready? Her mother asked. Becca collected Jazz's leash and nodded. Thanks for dropping me off, she said. It's kind of far to walk both ways.
You sure you're going to be able to get home all right? Becca smiled. I know how to cross the street. Her mother laughed. Okay, okay, you're right. I can't help it. No matter how grown up you are, you'll always be my little girl. Have fun, sweetie.
I will. Thanks, Mom.
Her mother waved and drove off. Becca watched her go and thought about all that Lucas had said to her about what her mother did for her. She was still kind of mad at him, but she couldn't stop thinking about his words. Was it possible he was right? Not anything she wanted to deal with, so she turned and studied the complex in front of her. There had to be at least a dozen 3- and 4-story buildings. Signs pointed every which way, showing where she could find the clubhouse and memory care. She knew her grandmother was in an apartment building called the Beach House, so she followed the signs to that one. Only when she came to 2 different paths, there was no little arrow showing her where to go. She chose right and entered one of the apartment buildings. Sliding doors closed behind her, giving her the sensation of being trapped. Jazz stayed close, her ears forward, her head held high as she checked out the situation.
It's okay, Becca told her, gently petting her, even though she wasn't sure it was.
The foyer opened up onto a big, airy common room, with lots of seating and several televisions on the wall. They were all tuned to HGTV, where a cheerful couple explored homes in Spain. Several old people sat in wheelchairs or on sofas. A couple had IVs attached to their arms, and one man was slumped over in his wheelchair. Becca felt herself start to panic. Why was her grandmother living here? She wasn't old, at least not as old as these people, and she wasn't sick. Why had she left to come here? A woman in a bright purple nurse's uniform walked over and smiled. Hi. Can I help you?
I'm looking for my grandmother.
Becca looked around the room.
I don't think she's here.
This is one of 2 skilled nursing facilities. The memory unit is next door.
Her tone gentled. Did she come in from the hospital?
What? No, she's fine. She just moved out and I...
The woman touched her arm. It's all right. I know this can seem a little scary, but it's not. Do you know the name of her building?
The Beach House?
The nurse chuckled. That's where our wild seniors live. Let me take you to the path and I'll point the way. I know the campus is big and can be really confusing, but once you get to know your way around, it's pretty easy to navigate. Before they could turn toward the door, a white-haired lady using a walker made her way over. Her attention was focused on Jazz.
I had a dog just like that one when I was a little girl. I called her Roxy. She and I would play all day long.
The woman reached out for Jazz to sniff her hand, then leaned forward to pet her. But she was short, and the walker was wide, and she couldn't quite reach. Jazz glanced at Becca, who motioned her forward. Jazz immediately walked around to the woman's side and sat next to her.
Oh, what a good girl you are,
the woman said as she stroked Jazz's face.
Just seeing you makes my day.
She smiled at Becca.
You're a very lucky girl to have such a beautiful dog.
I know. Thank you.
The nurse led Becca out to the main path and pointed the way.
Turn left at the 3 palm trees, she said. The signs will lead you the rest of the way.
She hesitated. Have you thought about training your dog to be a therapy animal?
She's so gentle and sweet, and I know my residents would love to have her visit.
I don't know anything about that, Becca admitted. Train Jazz to hang out with old people? Why would she want to do that?
It's not that hard to get a dog certified. They have to be trained, but you already have a leg up with her. It would be nice for them, and I think your dog might enjoy it, too. Something to consider, anyway.
Becca nodded. Thanks for the directions. She found Bunny's building and walked inside. The main open area was set up like a big living room, with lots of sofas and chairs. There was a stage at one end and what looked like a very complicated karaoke set up next to it. A woman at the front desk smiled at her.
You must be Becca. Bunny told us you were going to stop by. She's on the third floor, apartment 318. You can go on up. There's an elevator behind me or stairs at each end of the hall. She pointed to her right. That staircase gets you the closest.
Thank you.
They walked down a wide hallway. There were a couple of classrooms, a computer lab, a huge movie theater-style room, and gym. As she walked by, she saw a yoga class in session. She and Jazz took the stairs to the third floor, then found their way to Bunny's apartment. Her grandmother answered quickly,
Becca, you came.
Bunny let her in and petted Jazz. I've missed you so much. The warm hug was familiar and comforting. When her grandmother stepped back and led her into the apartment, Becca saw it was about the same size as the one she'd left at their house, and all her grandmother's furniture was in place.
How are you?
Bunny asked when they were seated, with Jazz lying on the carpet by Becca's feet.
Tell me everything. I'm so on my own here. It's not like I ever see your mother.
Mom said she stopped by to see you twice already, and you're always too busy for her.
Bunny busied herself pouring lemonade into glasses. Yes, well, I might have a few things going on, but that's beside the point. I should come first. 2 weeks ago, Becca would have enjoyed the bitch fest about her mother, but Lucas's stupid words were stuck in her head.
I don't understand, she admitted. You left with no warning. You didn't talk to Mom at all about your decision. You were just gone.
She's come by to see you, even though you never got in touch with her, and she's the one in trouble?
Bunny pressed her lips together. Why, that's not at all what I said. How's school? How are your grades? You only have a few weeks left.
Becca accepted the change in subject, mostly because she doubted her grandmother would tell her the truth.
I'm doing okay. Better in some classes than in others. Grandma, what's a memory care unit? Is it for people with Alzheimer's?
Why would you ask?
Jazz and I got turned around and ended up there. The lady at the front desk was really nice. One of the residents wanted to pet Jazz. It must be sad not to remember things.
I'm sure it is. Getting old isn't easy or fun, so enjoy being young.
Now tell me, what else is going on with you?
Just school and stuff. I'm nearly done with my driving hours, so I'll be taking my driving test soon. Oh, I've got Dad's wedding coming up.
She wrinkled her nose.
I don't know how I feel about that. It's going to be weird.
I don't think I knew that he was getting remarried. Your mother never tells me anything. Well, it's her own fault she lost Terence. If she'd taken better care of him, they would still be married.
The tirade was familiar. Becca had heard her mother and grandmother fighting about it more than once. But it had never been said directly to her, and she wasn't sure how she felt about it. A familiar knot formed in her stomach as she instinctively started petting Jazz. Her dog looked at her anxiously, as if sensing the tension.
Grandma, please don't talk about that with me. It's not right. She's my mom.
Since when did you get so delicate? You have to be very upset with the way she's changed, working all the time. Her clients matter far more than her family.
It's a disgrace.
She's taking care of me. Do you think my dad cares? He doesn't. He's too busy with Alicia and getting married. He hasn't helped with my driving even once. He never shows up when he says he will. He doesn't bother to come on the weekends anymore. I never see him. But Mom is always there. Yes, she's busy, but that's so she can take care of me. You're being unfair, and I can't listen to it anymore.
She stood and hurried to the door. Jazz was at her side the whole way. Together they ran down the stairs and out of the building. It took Becca a second to get her bearings. Then she started for home. Anger and confusion battled. She didn't want to take her mom's side, but she couldn't help herself. Her grandmother was wrong in always finding fault. That couldn't feel good, and to have Bunny so close, always judging, Her phone chimed. She pulled it out of her pocket and read the text from Ashton.
Talk to Stacy about the wedding weekend. Want to come over after the fun and stay here? There's an old show called Mystery Science 3000 that's pretty cool and lame at the same time. One of the cable channels is having an all-night marathon. Stacy and Kit are in, and it would be fun if you'd be here, too.
Her heart bounced so hard, it lodged in her throat. A sleepover with Ashton? Technically, it was an all-night TV marathon, but she doubted a very pregnant Stacy would last much past midnight, and Kit wouldn't stay up without her, which meant Becca and Ashton would be alone. For the night. Who knew what could happen? If they slept together, then maybe the rest of her life would start to make sense. At least she would have something in common with Jordan again. Not that Jordan was speaking to her, but still. Love to. I have to check with my mom. Can Jazz come?
Let me know, and sure. Miss you.
Her heart dropped back in place as her breathing stuttered to a stop. He missed her? He missed her? Wasn't that really close to him liking her? As in, you're my girlfriend and I really like you? Hope burned so hot and bright, she had to close her eyes against the brilliance. Then she began to run. Jazz kept up easily, watching her closely, as if wanting to know what was going on. It's just Ashton, she told the dog, even though it was so much more. Back at the house, she found her mother in her office with Dean. They both looked up at her. Then her mother said, "You're back early." Her smile faded. What happened? Nothing much. She had stuff to do.
For a woman who went to an old folks' home to die, your mother is quite the social calendar, Dean said before heading for the door. I'll go busy myself in the craft room for a few minutes.
Harper waved Becca into his chair. Tell me what happened. Did she upset you? She didn't. Mom, it's okay. There was no way to talk about all the horrible things her grandmother had said. I wanted to talk to you about after the wedding. Can I go over to Aunt Stacy's house? There's a TV marathon I want to watch.
With Ashton?
Becca felt herself flush. Yes, he'll be there. But so will Aunt Stacy and Uncle Kit. Her mother's gaze was steady. You're seeing a lot of him. We're hanging out. He's nice. She ducked her head. It's not exactly dating, but it's kind of close. Do you like him?
Becca nodded, then looked at her mom.
She smiled. Have you seen him? He's so hot. Her mom laughed. Can I say that? Does it make me sound old? You can say hot. Those eyes and his smile? Stacy says he's a really good guy. Her mother's expression turned serious. You know he's going to college in September, right? At MIT, which means he'll be all the way across the country. I know. But until then, he's here. So is Saturday okay?
Sure. Don't forget to pack a change of clothes. There's no way you'll want to spend the night in your bridesmaid dress.
Becca groaned. No one should have to wear anything with that much pink tulle. I'll bring yoga pants and a t-shirt. Anything else would cause suspicion. But she would have on her best bra and matching panties, and she'd shave and... Well, she didn't know what else to do to prepare. Maybe she should look that up online. The sex thing was complicated, she thought, as she and Jazz went into her room. Maybe it would be easier when she got the hang of it, but even if it wasn't, she was going to sleep with Ashton, and then everything would be better.
Chapter 21 Dressing for an ex's wedding was a bitch. While Harper was technically speaking to her mother, she didn't want to ask her for advice or accessories. The subject of Terrence's marriage would open a verbal can of worms she simply didn't want to deal with. That left her in the unfortunate position of having to get ready on her own, with her very limited wardrobe and fashion sense. She figured her black dress was somewhat inappropriate, which left her sleeveless floral print. There was no way she was going to shop for a new dress. If she was going to spend hard-earned money on clothes, it would be for a happier occasion than Terrence's nuptials. In a charming coincidence, the dress, mostly white with swirls of black and a scattering of peach flowers, went perfectly with the very expensive, very beautiful enamel and diamond bracelet Great-Aunt Cheryl had left her. She also put on the big-ass diamond studs. Terrence wouldn't notice either or care, but the bride would, and that was good enough for Harper.
She finished up her outfit with a pair of strappy black sandals that would be killing her by the end of the evening, but looked good enough to be worth the pain. She'd used hot rollers to get a little curl action and plenty of spray to keep it in place. She went a little heavier than usual on her makeup and called it a day. After transferring her cell, her driver's license, and a credit card to a small clutch, she went to check on her daughter. She'd already done Becca's hair in a fancy braid that she'd wrapped around her head and had helped her apply the perfect cat's eye liner. Becca stood in the pale pink sheath that went under the ballet-inspired tulle skirt the bridesmaids were wearing. She sighed when she saw her mom. "It's pretty hideous," she said. "I feel like I'm 5 and dressing up for a dance party." "Imagine what the bride's friends feel like. At least you're young enough to pull it off. They'll just look weird." "You're not going to say her name, are you?" "The bride's? No, I don't really see the point. After today, I can refer to her as your father's current wife." Becca grinned. Harper helped her daughter into the tulle skirt, then fastened the buttons in the back and tied the wide sash. She'd brought along a sewing kit so she could tack the bow into place. Otherwise, it would be coming undone every 15 minutes. Her gaze settled on the backpack by the door, the one Becca would take to the wedding, so she would have a change of clothes for tonight. Harper felt a slight twinge and wondered if she should talk to Stacy about Ashton and Becca, just to make sure they weren't left alone at 3 in the morning. Only Stacy was still upset about Bunny's freakout, and Harper was concerned her sister would feel that Harper didn't trust her. Still, Becca and Ashton not having sex was kind of important, so she decided to send a text, which made her a total and complete coward. Of course, the text was also how she'd dealt with Terrence and the issue of her bringing Lucas to the wedding. Terrence's terse, "Do you really have to?" along with her saying she did, had been the extent of their communication on the subject. "Families," she decided. "What a mess." "You're beautiful," she told her daughter. "Everyone in the wedding party is going to be so jealous." Becca surprised her with a hug. "Thanks for helping me today, Mom, and for coming. I know you really don't want to go to Dad's wedding." "Not really. But then he doesn't want me there either, so it's kind of a win-win. I get to support you and annoy him. What's not to like?" Becca laughed. "You have style, you know that?" The compliment shocked her, but she tried not to show it. "Thank you, as do you." They walked out to the living room. Lucas arrived right on time. He wore a medium gray suit with a shirt and tie the same gray color. The shade brought out the deep green of his eyes and looked sophisticated. The man was a looker, Harper thought, reminding herself that he was only doing her a favor. They were friends, nothing more. In Lucas' girlfriend years, she was about 1,057.
"Are we ready?" he asked, holding out his hand.
"We are." Harper passed over her car key. His convertible only had 2 seats, so they would be taking her car. 30 minutes later, they were pulling into the Ritz-Carlton in Marina del Rey. A valet handed over a ticket, which Lucas tucked in his jacket pocket, and they walked inside. They made their way to the ballroom where the wedding and reception would be held. The huge space was divided in two, with the far end opening on an outdoor area for the ceremony, and the reception side spilling out onto a massive deck overlooking the marina. Lucas said he would take care of himself while Harper got Becca settled. It only took a few minutes to find the bride's room. One of the bride's cousins, a girl about Becca's age, took charge and showed Becca where they were waiting. "We're junior bridesmaids," the teen said as she rolled her eyes. "It's humiliating." Becca flashed Harper a smile. "I'll be okay, Mom. I know where to find you and Lucas." "Yes, we'll be with the unwanted guests." Becca laughed. "Save me a seat." Harper left her and found Lucas on a balcony overlooking the marina.
"She okay?" he asked.
"Yes, she's made a friend. Apparently, there are junior bridesmaids. I know she thinks she's only in the wedding because of her dad."
"Isn't that true?"
"Yes, but I'm sorry she had to figure it out. I don't want her hurt." She looked at the huge gazebo covered in flowers and the rows of chairs, then back at the marina view.
"What are you thinking?"
Lucas asked. "Terrence and I got married in my parents' backyard. My mom and I made all the food ourselves. We cooked for days. I'm guessing our whole wedding cost less than the champagne they'll be serving today."
"Is that a problem?"
"No. More of an observation. A big, expensive wedding wouldn't have saved our marriage.
What about you?
She asked, mostly teasing. What was your wedding like? A silly question, because Lucas had never been married.
Had he?
She realized she'd never asked. He didn't talk about his romantic past very much, or at all. His face was unreadable. She stared at him.
OMG, you were married before. Tell me everything.
OMG?
I have a teenage daughter. I'm allowed to say things like that. So, am I right?
Yes.
A server carrying a tray of filled champagne glasses paused by them and smiled.
Here with the wedding?
We are, Lucas said, and took two glasses.
She accepted the one he handed her and stared expectantly.
You have to tell me something.
I got married when I was in my early 20s. Her name was Lynette, and for me it was love at first sight.
Which meant the story wasn't going to end well, Harper thought, as she leaned against the railing.
You don't have to talk about this if you don't want to.
It was a long time ago.
He stood in front of her, looking over her shoulder. She doubted he was actually seeing the docked boats.
She was beautiful, bright, funny, charming. We had a big wedding with a reception at a local restaurant. I used most of my inheritance to buy us a great house. I'd never been happier.
Harper started to get tense. I'm sorry. I was only teasing before. I didn't mean to make you remember all this.
It's okay. You should probably know what happened. We agreed to start a family, and she kept putting it off. One day I confronted her, and she admitted that she really didn't want to be married to me. But when she'd moved to L.A. to start her acting career, she'd realized it was going to be harder than she thought to get things moving. So she found some poor sucker to support her until she could get a decent part in a movie.
Harper moaned. No, that didn't happen.
It did. We fought, she left. 2 days later, she was on a plane to Thailand for some movie role. I filed for divorce that same morning. I'd been smart enough to keep my inheritance separate, and the house was only in my name, so I got all that back when I sold the place. Stuck the money in the bank and vowed not to be stupid again.
Hence the bimbos? They're easy and you'll never fall in love with one of them?
Something like that.
I'm sorry.
It happens.
What about her career?
She had some minor fame, never made it big. I don't know what happened to her.
He glanced around.
People are heading in. Let's go get good seats. I want the bride to see you when she walks up the aisle.
That's just mean. He winked.
I know. Pretty great, huh?
Becca stood quietly through the relatively quick ceremony, but her mind wasn't on the wedding. She'd had a good time with Michelle, Alicia's younger cousin. She'd missed having friends in her life. But despite the fun, she couldn't stop thinking about Ashton and their night together. At least she hoped it was going to be their night. She had to admit, if only to herself, that she was feeling a little sick to her stomach about the whole thing. While she knew what would happen, she was less sure about how and where. No guy had even seen her naked. What if he thought she was gross? And she wasn't sure how she felt about touching a penis. What did it feel like, and did guys know it was kind of funny looking? Maybe she should wait, she thought, only to berate herself for being a coward. She wanted to fit in. She wanted to be like everyone else, and that meant it was time for her to have sex. Ashton texted a few minutes after the ceremony ended, asking when he could come get her. She told him she was ready any time, then went to tell her mom she would be taking off. She found her with Lucas out by the marina.
You were lovely,
her mom said, giving her a hug. Are you having fun? Becca shook her head. It's weird. Alicia's pretty much ignoring me, and Dad's busy with his buddies. Can I please go hang out at Aunt Stacy's now? Harper hesitated. Is there a head table where you're supposed to sit?
No.
Did you see our table? It's in the very back. The place card says Becca plus one and plus two. She didn't even use your name.
I don't actually use hers, so I suppose it's fair.
Her mom hugged her, then lowered her voice. You have to make sure it's okay with your father. Then sure. Run while you can. Becca nodded, sucked in a breath, then said as casually as she could, You remember I'm spending the night. She turned to Lucas. There's a Mystery Science 3000 marathon.
I remember that show, he said,
watching her more closely than she would have liked. as if he'd guessed what she was going to try to do, although there was no way he could.
Could he?
Becca waved at them and hurried to find her dad. He was with Alicia, talking to a bunch of people. Her new stepmother glared at her for a second before getting Becca's dad's attention. Alicia whispered something in his ear. He moved toward her, his expression impatient.
"What's up, Becca? I've got some guests I need to talk to."
For a second, she told herself the person he was annoyed with was Alicia, not her. But she knew that wasn't true. Sometime in the past year or so, she'd become the forgettable person in his life, the daughter who didn't matter to him anymore. The realization caught her off guard, as did the bleak coldness that followed. He was supposed to love her forever, she thought. He was supposed to take care of her.
"Becca, what is it?"
She swallowed against the tightness in her throat and said, "I wanted to make sure it was okay for me to leave a little early. You're so busy and I, have schoolwork."
"Sure, that's fine. Just stay through dinner, and then you can head out whenever."
He kissed her cheek.
"I'll call you when Alicia and I are back from our honeymoon."
"No, you won't." But she only thought the words. She didn't say them. Instead, she waved and walked back into the crowd, as if she was going to join her mother. Then she turned and ducked out of the ballroom. She found her tote bag where she'd left it and ran to the hotel lobby. Ashton was just pulling up. She raced to the car and slid into the passenger side before he could get out and open the door. "Hi," she said, both excited and nervous. "Thanks for coming to get me." Ashton stared at her.
"You're beautiful."
"Oh," her cheeks heated. "Thank you. It's my bridesmaid dress. There's a lot of tulle." He frowned.
"What's that?"
"The skirt material. It's called tulle. I think it's French. Anyway, people use it a lot at weddings and stuff."
"If you say so."
He pulled out of the hotel and headed south toward Mischief Bay.
"How was the wedding?"
"Good, I guess. I didn't really want a stepmother, and Alicia doesn't like me very much, but I'm trying to deal. I don't think it's going to get better now that they're married. I mean, if she has a baby, I won't exist. Family is hard." There was something about the way he said the words that had her studying him. For the first time, she noticed that he seemed tense, and he wasn't smiling as much as he usually did. "What's the matter?"
"Nothing."
He shook his head.
"Okay, something. I talked to Kid.
He glanced at her, then back at the road.
"This is his car. He's buying a new SUV for the baby. Instead of trading this in, he wants me to have it. He says I can take it to MIT if I think I'll need it there. Otherwise, I can keep it here for when I come back on break."
Becca tried to figure out why that would be a problem. "That's great, isn't it? Don't you want a car? Now you don't have to walk to work. Plus, if they were dating and she thought they were, then they could go places more easily."
"They're already doing so much, taking me in, helping me pay for college. They're starting their own family. I'm not even related to Stacy. They're just supportive all the time."
She had no idea what they were talking about. "That's what grown-ups do, especially if they're family. I know Aunt Stacy makes a lot of money and Uncle Kit has a good job. Although he would be quitting when the baby came. Still, they could afford to help." He stopped at a red light and looked at her.
"Is that what it's like for you? You need something and it happens? Get in trouble and you go to your mom?"
"Not all the time." Her happy mood shifted to something slightly darker. "It's not like that. I'm not a kid," she added defensively. "I don't expect to snap my fingers and get everything I want. Why would you ask that? It's just..." He reached across the console and covered her hand with his.
"Sorry, it's me, not you. I've forgotten what it's like to be part of a normal family. I'm dealing with stuff and I shouldn't take it out on you. Forgive me?"
He was so direct, so clear on what he was thinking. She didn't know guys could be like that. "I understand."
"Thank you. So, what do you know about Mystery Science Theater 3000?
"I read about it online. It sounds like fun."
"I've seen a few episodes before. It's lame and funny at the same time. Stacy swears she's going to stay up with us, but she's been tired lately. So it's just going to be you, me, and Kit, I think."
"That sounds good," she murmured, wondering how late Kit would stay up and if, after he went to bed, Ashton would try to have sex with her. It was what she wanted, she reminded herself, even as her stomach began to writhe at the thought. The wedding had been lovely. Harper did her best not to be bitter or angry. Lucas's story about his failed marriage had started her thinking about her own failed marriage and everything that had gone wrong with her relationship with Terence. There were some key moments that explained a lot, and sadly many of them were her fault.
"We should go," she said after